All right. Well, good morning. Hope you all are doing good and had a great week. Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before you and we want to say thank you, O Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for this moment that we have before us, Lord, to look into your word and study scripture together, Lord, and see its importance in our lives, Lord, and how you speak to us in many different ways through your word. Lord, would you open up our ears and our minds, Lord, our hearts, to accept this word, Lord, and to grow in the knowledge of God, of you, in the face of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, and we bless your holy name. Amen. All right, so the topic this morning is about genealogies. Yeah, we're going to read through all of them. No, not really. But I'm sure that many of us have read through I would say maybe portions of the genealogies, and some of us have probably come up to that portion of Scripture and have realized that this is a long list of names, and what does this have to do with anything? And so I'm going to skip over it because I want to get to the more important things. And so this morning I want us to discuss genealogies. Obviously, it's not going to be an exhaustive study of all the genealogies, but some in particular, and see why are they important? Why are they? What can we learn from them? What truth can we glean? And so, before I begin, and I'll try to not spend so much time in the word studies of it and the background information, but rather get right into why it's important and then do some observations as we walk through them and see, oh, okay, I never knew why that was there or this took place or that took place and of that sort. So when I say genealogy, what comes to mind? Sleep? No. What's that? Lineage, yes. Family history, right? Names. You have geography, you have famous people. Maybe for some of you, what might come to mind are the Mormons. And the reason why is because for them, that's a religious tenet that they hold to in baptizing for the dead, right? And so they need to know who they're going to baptize for, so they have to keep that track. And they, I think, have one of the largest banks or library of generations and genealogy. But what are some reasons as to why people have kept genealogies or are interested in them? I'll briefly go through some that I read an article on, and some, you know, some of the things that came up were to validate maybe family stories. Others are to see, am I related to a famous person or not? Historical events, trace medical conditions, find birth parents, land ownership, family inheritance. You got just historical studies and reconnecting with family or family legacies, right? So genealogies play an important role, and all of us have one. All of us. So this must be important then. Quickly, genealogy is best defined in a broader sense, as defined in the dictionary, as the study of the history of the past and present members of a family or families. So, family lineage. The word that is used, genealogy, is genea and logos, meaning generation and knowledge. So, in the Old Testament, and really the root word is genomai in Greek. And that's used in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and then also in the New Testament. Genomai can be broken down to be or to come into being. In the Old Testament, there's a word that is derived from the root word of yalad, and that's toledat. That is actually, in the book of Genesis, a marker or a distinct structuring point that the writer uses to structure the book of Moses. You can see it's really the book of the generations, the account of the generations. We see that written several times, and toledat does that. In the book of Hebrews and or Exodus and Numbers, it doesn't play that role. In the New Testament, you could probably understand the word in Greek, which is Genesis, right? And that word is used in Matthew's genealogy. And that's found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Other New Testament uses would be related to the birth of Christ in Matthew 1:18 and Luke 1:14. James uses it twice, and outside of James and Matthew, that word Genesis is not used. Just a quick side note, in James chapter 3, verse 6, as we've been also studying the tongue and reading about that, you know, when it's writes about the speaking and the tongue, which is setting on fire the course of life, that's Genesis, the course of life. So you kind of get an idea of what's happening there, right? Luke, on the other hand, he doesn't use any of those terms, nothing to do with the root word of ginomai, to be or to come into being. As a matter of fact, Luke doesn't have anything but the definite article and the name of the person in the genitive form. So in the Greek, it would just be Joseph, tau, heli. So the heli, Joseph the heli. So it would be Joseph, the son of heli or Eli. So you have there, very interestingly enough, that it's to be assumed. Some go into, and we'll get into this maybe later or not, but I'll mention it now. Some say that when it's tracing the maternal side of the family, they will use the definite article. I don't know how true that is or how valid that is, but that's something to keep in mind. The genealogies can be also, there's different types, right? There's the linear genealogy, what people refer to like in Genesis 5, where you have the people listed, their age, and then became the father of, and then died, right? And then that's a linear, segmented genealogy would be more on Genesis 10, where you have Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So that's more of a segmented, where you have more people within that generation and divides into multiple individuals, right? Okay, so why are they important? Why are they important? You know, as I meditated upon this, I came up with five different reasons as to why they are important. After I came up with the five reasons, I searched around and read dictionaries and on genealogies, and it seems that they fall in line pretty well. And so these five points I will quickly go over, and there's a lot more points as to why genealogies are important, but I will stick with these five. We do know that they are important, though, to the people of Israel, right? To that lineage, because of royalty, inheritance, you have priesthood, while the priesthood was Levitical. So you have in that, because of the firstborn blessing and so on and so forth. But number one, why is it important? Because it's in the Bible. It's an elementary thought, maybe, but or reason as to why we should read through the genealogies. You know, it's kind of like your child coming up to you and saying, why can't I do that? Because I told you so. Not a very good response, but it's in the Bible. It does rank at the top in regards to its importance because it's in the Bible, right? This is not a kind of like a got you statement or a coercion or coercing into getting into you, getting you and convincing you to read the genealogies, okay? This is a, it's rather really understanding, but a reminder and understanding that the Word of God is truth and that all Scripture, right, is God-breathed. And so we got to understand that although we all may agree and should agree that the genealogies are part of that breath of God, that they do serve a purpose and they are important. If we truly hold to the authority and inerrancy of Scripture, then we must see the genealogies as something important. Because if we don't obey or follow God's word, if we disbelieve it and saying, well, genealogies may, you know, there's discrepancies, and we might get into that as well. And there's discrepancies, I want to just skip over. If we disbelieve or disobey the word of God, then essentially we're disbelieving and disobeying God himself. And so it's important, and I hope that at the end of this Bible study that all of us will be more driven, and that God will just put that desire within us. The Holy Spirit will put that desire in us to want to go and study more of the genealogies. Because as I got into this, I realized, wow, I think I'm in over my head. There's a lot there. I mean, you could just pick out a name from somewhere and start doing a study of that name. And how does this guy relate into the story of redemption? Or what role does he play? Or what does God have to do with this individual? So number one, because it's in the Bible. Number two, it's because it demonstrates that we, as human beings, have a starting point, an origin. And this, again, goes back to the first point, right? It relates. All of these relate to that first point because it's in the Bible and because it is important. God put it there. In Genesis 5, chapter 1, which is the beginning of one of the genealogies, it says, this is the book of the generations. There's that Toledot formula, right? Of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. We see here that God created man. This is not something new to us, but God created man, and he made him. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. We see the end of the genealogy of Luke, the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke. And in the very end, what does he say? He says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So we find over there that Jesus Christ is, yeah, the son of God, and we'll get into that, but that humans have a starting point. It's God. And so even though this is something which has been contested, right, has been and continues to be challenged, not only by the secular world, but also by some who consider themselves even evangelical, they're starting to question the existence of Adam and Eve. Could really this multitude of people and diverse people come from just two? And so, again, that goes back to disbelieving God, that he created man. But reading through the genealogies and believing the word of God as truth, it will point us back to the beginning, to our Creator. Thirdly, why is it important? Well, because it is a display of God's rule or sovereignty over life and death. It is a display of God's rule or sovereignty over life and death. Who's in control of life and death? We'd like to think we are. A lot of people live this life thinking they are in control. But God is the one that is in control. He rules over life and death. In Genesis 1, verse 28, he says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. God blessed them. And he said and gave him a commandment, be fruitful and multiply. We can't hurriedly go over the fact that God blessed them, because that is why they are able to be fruitful and multiply. And therefore, they are to fill the earth and subdue it. So God giving life. And blessing life. In Genesis 2, you notice that everything starts at the beginning, right, in Genesis. We're going to go through Genesis quite a bit here. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" So reading through the genealogies, right, it won't take long for us to see that life is happening and death is happening. That God is ruling over life and he's ruling over death. We see these two things being ever so present. God being the one who gives life, the author of life. As I said, God blessed them, and then God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." It is reminding that reading through the genealogy should be a reminder for us that God is the author of life. Or better said, the blessing of God in life, right? He is the one that's pouring out life. But then we're also reminded of death. Reminded of death because though it was a commandment with a blessing, it was also a warning. And man sinned. And because they disobeyed, they sinned. And because they sinned, death entered into the world. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." So reading through the genealogies, especially in Genesis chapter 5, where it's very specific as to, "And he died," we need to understand that there's a problem now in this world. And that problem is sin, and that problem created enmity between man, between God and man and God, and there's no peace with God. So there's a problem here. These 5 points are somewhat, you can trace them down as to where I'm getting. You know, it's in the Bible. We're at the point of life and death right now. And there's a problem. So point number 4 would be, because it demonstrates the humanity of Jesus Christ. That he came in the flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. So point number 4 would be, why is it important? Because it demonstrates the humanity of Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, it is said that Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. Those are choice words by Matthew. And who is called the Messiah, the Savior, the one who will save, the anointed one. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "When he," Jesus, "began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being," and notice these words over there, "as was supposed," and I'm reading out of the NASB, "as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli," drawing his humanity. You know, there were people in the early church that went against this, and the church fathers fought against this heresy. Gnosticism would be one, right? The body and the spirit, body being evil, matter. So Jesus Christ couldn't have come in the flesh, because then he would have been, that matter, that body would have been evil. Docetism, coming from the Greek word dokeo, which is to seem. And Jesus Christ seemed, or it just seemed to appear in the flesh as a human, but really was not so. So we have these things that are going against the humanity of Jesus Christ. Tracing the genealogy in Matthew and Luke will lead us to the conclusion that Jesus Christ was born a natural birth to Mary and Joseph. of course, by the Holy Spirit, but born to Mary. It's important for us to understand that Christ was also human. Very important. Point number five. Because, and this one's a little bit more lengthy, but because it demonstrates